Tonight I'm going to be looking at something that's fairly often looked at, 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 5 through 7. This actually is a lesson that I've preached before, and so there's many here that have not heard it before. But it's been a while, so. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, he lists a set of characteristics that Christians should have. And let's go ahead and read those verses. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So first I want to go through and just, talk about what each one of those things in the list are. Faith, of course, we can go over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and see a definition of faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So there's a belief in things not seen, but based on evidence, or things not seen based on evidence that exist, it's the beginning of our salvation. Virtue, according to Devine's dictionary, it is a moral goodness. Therefore, we are to be diligent in being morally good. Let's turn over to verse 8 in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And just, we have the examples of those men that, or those people that were faithful. And in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." So he had faith. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verse 2. Let's start in verse 1. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of word, that you may grow thereby." And then let's look at James chapter 1, verse 15, and we'll see the description of the opposite of virtue, which says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So our when we follow our own desires, we are not exhibiting virtue. Knowledge. We must learn about God. And we know the scripture in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 17, states that faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. But let's also look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So Paul stated that they prayed for the Colossians that they would be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. Self-control. God has expectations for our behavior. And as we learn about those expectations, we need to apply those things by having self-control, living our lives in the way he expects. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 12 says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says, that's still Romans. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So not only those explicit things that those stated explicitly as sin, but we also need to have self-control in things that may be lawful but harmful to others. Perseverance. We will meet obstacles in our way as we work toward our salvation. We must learn to continue on and face those obstacles without stopping our pursuit. Let's go back to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we'll read verse 7. Let's begin at the beginning of the sentence in verse 5. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." So the idea that those who will receive eternal life will do so by patient continuance in doing good. Godliness. In Vines also we see that that godliness essentially means to have an attitude that you're going to do what is well-pleasing to God. And so godliness is then doing what God expects from us. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 7 says, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." And then going down to chapter 6, verse 3, we read, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness." And then verse 11 says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Thought I printed double-sided. And then the last is love. It's interesting that love is at the last, the highest level. So this love must be more than what is meant by brotherly kindness. Peter must mean a deep-seated love, possibly a love which truly puts others' needs and desires before our own. And of course, we could read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I guess I'll go ahead and read the whole chapter, which says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. But I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So when I put this lesson together, I was thinking about how, you know, okay, these are all in order. Add this to that, and add this to that. But we know that you can't do them in order. So was he intending for us to master these characteristics one at a time? In other words, telling us to work on having virtue until we have mastered it, then start working on knowledge, and then once we have knowledge mastered, start working on self-control and so on. And I think you would agree that that was not his intent, but he listed them in order of the way people grow. And what I mean is that the closer to the end of the list, the things closer to the end of the list take more time and effort to master. These characteristics can not be obtained one at a time. For example, a person is not going to have a desire to gain knowledge about God if he does not have faith. And at the same time, it requires knowledge to have faith. Likewise, with other characteristics. Virtue requires knowledge of what is good. Knowledge requires self-control and perseverance to study and work at understanding. And maybe even some brotherly love, kindness and love, as a lot of knowledge comes from seeing and understanding the struggles of life. Self-control requires perseverance. And perseverance may require brotherly kindness and love. And brotherly kindness may require love. So, going way back, Sam and I, the reason I had developed this lesson was Sam and I had had a conversation where we were talking about the differences in people and how it seems different churches or denominations may have mostly, of course there's many reasons why there's denominations, but this may be part of it. They may have mostly people whose thought processes are the same. For example, some denominations seem to be concerned predominantly about the physical welfare of their members and others while neglecting knowledge. And they are focused on brotherly kindness. Others may be focused on doing good, but not working on having the knowledge of what good is in God's eyes. And some are focused on love, not willing to condemn anyone without teaching godliness, self-control, etc. So it's obvious there are denominations that have these problems, but there are also denominations and churches that have knowledge but do not give any or enough attention to some of the other characteristics. So, and the same thought can be carried to each one of us as members of the church. Our nature may lead us to focus on one or more of these characteristics over the others. Is that good? When we read 1 Corinthians chapter, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When we read this, we may get the idea that we have there are different expectations for growth, since we all do not have the same function in the church. First Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and as has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? Of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, being indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And then I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which are we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these things in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So, you know, thinking of this list in 2 Peter, reading this, we may have the idea that we have different expectations or different needs for those things in the list, depending on what function we are serving at the time. So like a teacher would need more on gaining knowledge, a helper on helping, or having brotherly kindness. One who administers on administering or brotherly kindness and love. But I was actually kind of thinking about our study in 2 Timothy this morning also, where we were talking about the calling and how, but I think reading this list, we're not really to be stagnant. And it's like we may have things that we're better at, but we're still to work on doing all of them, even though we may not be good at them. As we grow, we will become better as if we work on them. So let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's continue on reading on in verse 8. It says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So we read that if we are diligent in these things, we will be fruitful and we will never stumble. And we will be supplied with an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Also, though, if we lack these things, we are short-sighted and have forgotten we have been cleansed from our sins. So it's very, very important that we work on having all of these things that are listed. He's telling us that we need to be diligent in doing all these things and to make our call and election sure. Not some of them, but all of them. So if we are one that by nature seeks knowledge, self-control, and perseverance, we may need to be putting effort into learning brotherly kindness and love. If we are one that by nature are good at brotherly kindness and love, we may need to work on knowledge and perseverance. And we need to help each other with these things. What would the church be like if everyone separated into groups based on their nature? What if those concerned more about knowledge and those concerned about brotherly kindness and love separated and didn't work together? How would each of these groups learn those other characteristics? We're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So we are to encourage each other to do these things. Now let's go back to 2 Peter again. And this time we're going to read the first four verses of chapter 1. It says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which having been given to us, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust." So we read here that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, as well as exceedingly great and precious promises. We have all we need to obtain salvation. It is up to us to decide if we want it, and up to us to work and take advantage of those promises to obtain it. So that's the lesson. If you're one that has heard God's word and you believe it, and you are ready to make a decision to change your life, walking after God and not after the world, we encourage you to come forward, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized into him as we stand and sing.